Hey everybody, and welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips for Round 2. I'm your host, Stephen Westaway, and Round 1 of the NRL Telstra Premiership is in the books. It's done and dusted, and wasn't there some surprising results? Some teams definitely exceeded expectations, other teams were extremely disappointing, and we'll get into all that. But for those teams that didn't get the job done in Round 1, the 8 teams that were losers, still plenty of time to get their season back on track. That's the good news. You've got another 23 games to potentially make the top 8 and chase an elusive premiership. But for the teams that did get the victory over the past 2 weekends, massive start to the season, and those teams got to hope they can continue rolling that momentum over the coming months and really continue to improve and continue to build their season and rack up wins and, you know, cement a top 8 spot. So it's an exciting time of the year for sure, and Steve's NRL Footy Tips is back for another year. I'm covering every game of the season. If you guys haven't, please go like Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook. It's the best way to stay notified of all the updates on the future of the show. Follow me on Spotify, follow me on Apple Podcast. I record this podcast with Anchor, which is now Spotify for podcasters, so check that out if you guys would like. But thank you guys for all the support, and I hope 2024 continues to be a great year for rugby league. As I said, we've got a lot to recap in terms of the round that was, but the big news over the last few days since round one concluded is that Spencer Lenu has been suspended for 8 games after the racist remark that he made towards Ezra Mehm, calling him a monkey over there in Las Vegas. Now, he's been suspended for 8 weeks. I know there was a little back and forth over what his punishment should be. Some people were happy with the 8 weeks. Some people think it's a little bit too harsh. And then some people, like Jonathan Thurston, for example, a legend of the game, thinks that the punishment is not severe enough. Now, it doesn't really matter what we think. It matters what Ezra Mehm thinks, and it affected him. There is absolutely no place for any racism in society in 2024. So I applaud the NRL for coming down on this issue strong. Spencer Lenu continued after the game, continued to make remarks. It led to an altercation outside the hotel for the players and in the hotel. And I think, you know, despite the fact, to his credit, he came out, he admitted what he did was wrong 4 days after the incident when he got back to Australia, and I'm sure spoke to lawyers and the Roosters PR team. He came out and admitted it, which is great, and he actually even, you know, offered to fly up to Brisbane to apologise to Ezra Mehm personally. Ezra Mehm refused that. There's a lot of information we don't know. There was some stuff redacted from the judicial hearing last night, and Ezra Mehm, I'm sure, he requested for that to be taken out, so I'm sure there might have been some sledging back from his side, without getting too much into assumptions. But, you know, I think that the NRL had to stand firm. They don't want, you know, a black mark to start their season, despite the over-roaring success of Las Vegas and its effect on the Aussie punters and the people that love and support the game. But, you know, when you put the game in dispute, it doesn't matter if, you know, you come out and apologise. Big action has to be taken, and Spencer will sit down for 8 weeks. So, you know, they've set a standard now, the NRL. They don't accept racism in the game, which is an absolute positive. So that's enough time spent on that subject. But let's get to the round one action now, and the two teams that really surprised me the most, the two most impressive performances on the weekend, in my opinion, was the North Queensland Cowboys yesterday demolishing the Dolphins, and the St. George Illawarra Dragons, a team that many, including myself, have doubted their credentials in 2024. I believe I had them finishing 15th on the ladder, but if they keep the effort up that we saw in round one, they could have the potential to finish much higher than 15th. And, you know, it comes as an absolute godsend to all those Dragons fans, long-suffering Dragons fans. I believe they've made the finals once in 10 years, the Dragons. So, you know, for all those fans out there, it's been a long road. Maybe 2. I think they made it in 2015 and 2018. But nonetheless, it's been a long road to get to this new beginning. And let's hope the Dragons keep it up, because there's another 23 games left. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But, you know, the effort there on the weekend was outstanding. And the Cowboys, for a team that's so inconsistent in 2023 after a tremendous 2022, they have started red hot. And we've seen, you know, pieces of brilliance like this from them in the past 12 to 18 months, but that really put it together on Sunday and sent a message to the rest of the competition that, you know, if they can be consistent like they were against the Dolphins, then they're going to be tough for any team to beat, especially back home at Townsville, which they're heading back for their first game of the year this weekend. But if we look at round one as a whole, it started in Las Vegas, and we covered those games last week on the show. If you haven't, go back and check out my reaction to those ones. But it was merely defeating the South Sydney Rabbitohs 36-24, and the Roosters being round one winners against the Broncos 20-10. But last Thursday night, we saw another upset victory. And in fact, I believe there were 6 out of 8 games in round one were upsets. The Canberra Raiders, big winners, 28-12 over the Newcastle Knights. For mine, Newcastle were one of the most disappointing teams of the weekend. Their attack looked one-dimensional, a lot of one-out football. And I think it's an attitude problem. I think they went into the season prepared, to kind of walk all over Canberra. But Canberra showed mental toughness and fortitude to really repel what the Knights were attacking at them, throwing at them in attack. And, you know, they scored some good tries themselves, their young players and their new players to the NRL, like Ethan Strange and Morgan Smithies in particular, really stood up and, you know, gave the Raiders a lot of hope for the year as well, the Raiders fans. So Newcastle, they've got a lot of work to do. I think, you know, despite the fact that it's round one, they could be in a little bit of trouble because, in my opinion, their attack needs an entire overhaul based on what we saw in the opening round. And mentally, I didn't think they were up for the task when it came to defending their own line. So, massive issues there at Newcastle based on 1 week. But, you know, it's a long season and hopefully there's improvement there. But in front of your home crowd, Newcastle, extremely disappointing if you're a Newcastle Knights fan. No doubt about that. We'll talk about them more when it comes to their big game on Saturday night against the Cowboys. On the Friday games, we saw the Cronulla Sharks 16 defeat the New Zealand Warriors 12 over there in New Zealand. It's only the second time the Sharks have won a round one game outside of New South Wales, I believe, in 30, 40 years. And the last time was all the way back in 1990, I believe. So, huge win for the Cronulla Sharks. They were down 12-0 early, and the Warriors looked like the Warriors of 2023. They're on fire to start the game, but Cronulla's defense held firm. And eventually, I think New Zealand really got exhausted, and Cronulla got back in the game. So, again, in front of a home crowd, sold out over there in New Zealand. A little bit of a disappointing start to the season for them. We'll see if they can bounce back this week. Cronulla, impressed by the fortitude they showed defending their line. And, you know, it's something that in the past few seasons they have probably folded when, you know, that repeated pressure got put on them, and they've been accused in the past of not being able to beat the big teams, by me included. But it was a big win, there's no doubt about it, on Friday night down there in New Zealand. The other game, massive game, my grand final preview was, taking place in round one. The Melbourne Storm defeated the Penrith Panthers 8-0. It was a defensive clinic. A lot of errors in this one. A lot of errors in all the games, really, over the weekend. But a lot of drop ball. But Melbourne's defense really held firm. And Penrith started the season off last year a little bit slow. They, had to claw their way and get into the season as a whole. But I don't think there's any concern there, but they weren't at their best on Friday night. There's no doubt about it. And even with Melbourne, they got away with a scrappy win, but a win that would please Craig Bellamy, especially when you look up with, you know, points conceded and it was zero. That's always a massive achievement, and I think that Melbourne really played it for each other, especially defensively. Without Cameron Munster, we'll see, how young Pezzett develops, especially considering Munster has the recurring groin issue that could keep him out long term. But overall, a really good start to the season for Melbourne, and I'm sure they'll be better for the run this week. Super Saturday, my favourite time of the week. I had a big night down here in the Illawarra. I was actually at Dapto League Club, but a lot of beers, a lot of good times, and two games of football that one of them really shocked me. The other one, the Eels, the first game, defeated the Bulldogs 26-8. And, you know, it wasn't a clinical Parramatta performance. They were pretty good in the first half. The Bulldogs did fight hard, but I don't think it was surprising to anyone, least of all me, who predicted them to win the Wooden Spoon this year, to see that their attack was very one-dimensional, very clunky. I just don't think they've got the troops in the right positions. And is Drew Hutchison a 7? I'm not sure. There's players out of position everywhere for the Dogs. I think it's going to be a long season. And despite the fact that they fought hard to try to get back in the game in the second half, I didn't see much to sway my opinion on the Bulldogs as a whole. For the Eels, I thought they were were good. It was a decent first hit up, but plenty of improvement by them as well. And they got a blockbuster game against Penrith this Friday night. The second game, huge surprise for me, and that was the Central Geelong Dragons defeating the Gold Coast Titans 28-4. Now, the Titans had some big names out of this game. Kieran Foran was a late scratching. No David Fifita, no Jaden Campbell. A lot of players on milestones, however. They had, I believe it was Brian Kelly's, AJ Brimson's 100th, and Isaac Louis's 250th. So plenty to play for up there in front of a home crowd at Cbus Super Stadium. But it was the Dragons that really impressed me. They really surprised me with exactly how hard they played, and they played for each other. It was really good football by the Red V, and Shane Flanagan's obviously had a massive preseason with that squad. And, you know, some players that, you know, won't get all the flowers, guys like Tom Eisenhuth, Jacob Little, they were outstanding. I thought that Raymond Tillamarina had a fantastic debut for the Red V. Zach Lomax, 255 metres in his first game of the wing. That was outstanding. He was close to the man of the match. But Tyrell Sloan, 3 tries. It was a big off-season for him. There was a lot of people that doubted him based on one game, the opening game of the season. He is just evolved as a footballer, and the defense and the errors still probably going to be an issue, but in terms of attack, he can definitely set a game alight. So Kyle Flanagan, I thought, had a good debut complimenting Ben Hunt, managed to score a try as well. But for me, they weren't perfect. There was a lot of errors in the game, but the effort was there, and that's what you want to see. If you support a club, you want to see the effort, you want to see the players leave it on the line. Their goal line defense outstanding. They get a huge pass mark for me at the St. George Yellow Dragons for week one. A big game this weekend as well. See if they can back it up against the Dolphins, who are under strength this weekend. But for the Gold Coast Titans, extremely disappointing. They had a lot of players out. Thomas Weaver and Tanner Boyd were the halves this week, and I've questioned whether Tanner Boyd's a number 7 and a first grade number 7 for a while now, and I don't think the weekend's made me question that. He really struggled to control the game in the big moments. I think Chris Randall had an off night as well. They looked a lot better when Sam Verrills came on the field from the bench. But, you know, Kieran Foran, great player. He's not going to be around forever, though. So when he goes, they even need a recruit of 5'8", or Tanner Boyd's the guy that has to control this football side. I thought he did a poor job. Obviously, they were missing their big outs, but they barely fired a shot at the Dragons. It was very disappointing by Hasler, who I think will be a lot more disappointed in the defensive effort. It's always been a problem for the Titans. They've always struggled defensively, and the start of the year wasn't any different, but they've got plenty of time to improve. They'll get the troops back. It's concerning about, what happens, when a young guy gets an opportunity to lead a team, you'd think that he'd really step up, but I didn't love what I saw from either one of the halves from the Titans, and AJ Brimson was barely sighted. He needs to get more involved, especially when the big guns are out. He's too much of a danger to just keep in the centres. I know he can be explosive out there, but if you can't get the quality of football out there to him, you need to bring him in and try to get him some more work. So disappointing first week for the Titans. They've got plenty of time to fix it, and Des Hasler's no slouch on the bye this week. We'll see what Hasler has in store for them the next week of training, because I'm sure he'll drill everything that went wrong, and they'll have the video session and really break it down this weekend at training. But Sunday afternoon, the team with the biggest win, we saw the Dragons win by 24, but it was the Cowboys winning by 25 at Suncorp Stadium, 32,000 up there for the Queensland Derby, the Dolphins versus the Cowboys, 43-18. The Cowboys were way too good for the Dolphins. I thought the first 20 was really entertaining, and both teams were up for it, but it was clear as the game continued to go on, the Cowboys just had so much more line speed than the Dolphins. The Dolphins looked like an old football side. The line speed was really slow, and no one's questioning their ability to score points. I think the Dolphins can be very electric and destructive, especially with the attacking weapons. They got the team. They got Osako. They got the Hammer, who had a really off night. They've gone out and signed Farnsworth. They got Jeremy Marshall King's electric and dummy half, but the defense was a huge worry, and it was a terrible start to the season for them. And Wayne Bennett's got a lot of improving to do. But as I said, for the Cowboys, I said it at the top of the show, they just need to be a little bit more consistent week in and week out. It was a fantastic start to the year for them. Tarlo only got 20 minutes, and it shows you the quality of the young forwards they've got at the place. And will have questions on his future, but I choose to look at it more of, you know, the likes of Fina Fuaki and Griffin Neem and Hila Maluki and Jeremiah, and then I get in some form. I think it just shows the class of the young forward pack that the Cowboys have. I think Dearden controlled the team well, and I think it's very clear that this is now Tom Dearden's team. Townsend did a lot of the kicking, but I think he played a little bit more of a backseat role in terms of the big plays, and Scott Drinkwater was good in his first out hit out the year. The centres were great, Valentine Holmes and the young Zach Labert, so a really promising start there for the North Queensland Cowboys, and overall a really entertaining first week of football. There was a lot of errors, yes, but we saw some teams really gauge where they're at, and you know, we got more of an idea of exactly how this competition's going to shape out this season. There's some big teams under pressure already, and it's only round two, and a lot of them have a big job to do if they're going to get their first win of the year. And as I said, for those round one winners, it's all about building on the foundation blocks that you got your first win of the season. So definitely looking forward to round two. We're about to get into the preview of them. But yeah, as I said, another thank you to everybody that's listened to the podcast in the first couple of weeks, free our show a couple of weeks ago. Thanks to all the guests that came on there. And, you know, we're gearing up for a huge season here at Steve's NRL Footy Tips. The action starts this Thursday. I'm going to have my special bets for each game. I think I only got one or two right last week. So remember to take these with a grain of salt. I don't want to cost anyone money, but I'll just give you my opinion on exactly where I think all these teams are at heading into round two. And as I said, there's plenty of improvement to be had across the board as far as I'm concerned. It's blockbuster games. Let's get to the round two previews now. The opening game of round two kickstarts at 8 p.m. from Suncorp Stadium on Thursday night, with two teams we haven't seen in action for almost 2 weeks as they return from Las Vegas, both on the losing side of those matchups. It's the Brisbane Broncos versus the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and the Broncos have entered this game as heavy favourites. They went down to the Roosters 20-10 in round one. They'll be out to get their first win of the season in front of a big crowd, perhaps even a sold-out crowd up there at Suncorp Stadium for this one. Obviously, all the post-game talk out of that match was the Spencer Lenu incident with Ezra Mann, which we've already covered over the last 2 weeks. But for the Broncos, I thought that they were a little bit flat straight off the bat. It was a little bit of a grand final hangover, so to speak. And obviously, it's hard to gauge with the different size field and the big occasion. Hard to take too much out of the round one games for, you know, the Broncos, Rabbitohs, Roosters and Manly, who they're playing later in the weekend as well, the Roosters and Manly. But if there's one thing that I noticed from the Broncos is that I think that, you know, the lack of some leadership, Herbie Farnsworth leaving, Flegler, Capewell, it's definitely had an impact on this side. And Brennan Pecora went down early in that game, so their backs were against the wall early, and I don't know how they responded to that one. I think Adam Reynolds had a little bit of a kneel, but hopefully he's fully fit for this game against his former club. But, you know, overall, I think it's safe to say that, you know, it was disappointing start of the season for a team that was so close to being the premiers in 2023, and they'll be out to, you know, make amends this Thursday night. Their opponents, the South City Rabbitohs, same year, new year, same story as the back end of last year. They were first on the ladder after 12 rounds before not even making the top 8 in 2023. And, you know, during that time, the defence really suffered. Now, they scored plenty of points, and they scored plenty of points when they were on that downward trajectory last year, and they did in round one against Manly 24, but they conceded 36. You know, the mental toughness defending their goal line wasn't up to scratch in round one. As I said, Vegas, different environment. We saw a lot of free-flowing football, and I think this one will be more low-scoring, more of a desperate affair for both clubs as they search for their first win of the year. But defensively, there's no doubt there's some big question marks over the South Sydney side, and it hasn't helped the fact that they've got so many injury dramas at the moment. Obviously, Jack Wyden suspended up to round three. He'll come back next week in a blockbuster game against the Roosters. But Campbell Graham out until round 22. Jai Arrow is the latest casualty. He's down. Cody Walker, whether he's fully fit or not, remains to be seen. So a lot of injury concerns, and I think it's a huge week for South Sydney. They need to show something this weekend. They don't necessarily have to win the game, but especially defensively, they need to see a complete overhaul. I thought that the halves were really quiet in Vegas, both Cody Walker and Ilias. Ilias had a really good run down to Saab, so the effort was there, but Cody Walker extremely quiet, and, you know, was he fully fit? debatable, but he's had, you know, almost 2 weeks to get it right, and I think they need a big performance because, you know, Latrell was great in round one. He has to be great. So does Cody in a lot of these blockbuster games if they're going to have a chance. But, you know, I think Ilias can control the game better. Cody Walker needs to help him out there. He's the chief playmaker. He's the old veteran. He needs to help his younger counterpart out there and get through, you know, a lot of the kicking and take that weight off Ilias's shoulders. The forward pack, I thought, were really disappointing in round one. I thought Manly walked all over him. So, you know, despite the fact there's a lot of injuries, there's so much improvement that this South Sydney side, you know, needs to go through over the next month to condition themselves for the long season ahead. They don't have to win all these games, but they've got to be competitive and they've got to not be letting teams walk through the middle of them and making 60, 70, 80 metres in a set. They have to be better than that TRC if they're going to be a premiership threat this year. It's as simple as that. The Broncos, no slouches, as I said, you know, at their best, we all know what they can do, and they don't have as much experience as they had at the back end of, you know, 2023, but they've got a young, exciting side with the mix of leaders, with, you know, your Carrigans, your Husses, your Reynolds, with your Martin Tapau coming off the benches. Those are the guys that these young players are going to turn to and go, you know what, we're in a battle here. We need some leadership, and I thought that was lacking in round one. So, yeah, I think this game definitely going to be one in the middle of the field. South Sydney folded in week one. I thought the Roosters got better of the Broncos forward pack as well. So it's going to be a big battle up the middle, but in front of Suncorp Stadium and with a more fitter side heading into this game, it's hard to tip against the Broncos. And for those that know, I am a South Sydney fan, but I think South's got a lot of work to do and a lot of improvement to do before they get back to their best. And we see that side that dominated the early portion of the 2023 season. I think Jack Wyden's a massive in next week. Their edge defense, very questionable still with the likes of Tass Kenner and Gagai. Not a huge amount of experience out there. So, I think it could be another rough week potentially for CS, but you've just got to see improvement defensively. It's all an attitude thing, right, for both of these clubs. The Broncos, I think, expected to do it a little easier than they did over there in Las Vegas. And see us, they just got to get mentally tougher and defend their goal line for periods of time, which they haven't been able to do. So I've got the Broncos by 6 points. I think it would be improved performance by both sides. A little bit low scoring, and my bet of the week for this game is the unders. I think it's under 41.5, $1.90. I don't expect there to be anywhere near as many points, especially compared to, you know, the Rabbitohs Manly we saw back in round one. But I think the Broncos get their first win of the season in front of a sold-out home crowd, and the Rabbitohs will be searching for their first win in a blockbuster game against the Roosters in round three. Round two continues live from Cronulla at 6 p.m. on Friday, and when the Cronulla Sharks host the Canterbury Bulldogs. And it's an early hit-out for both of these sides, both on very different ends of a round one situation for the Bulldogs. Very disappointing. And, you know, really makes you question the recruitment and the plan at Canterbury and how they really hope to get some life into this season, because they seemed very clunky with ball in hand. There was some effort there, there's no doubt about it. But Matt Burton and Drew Hutson, are they the answer to the halves and the puzzle pieces there for the Bulldogs? I question that. You've got Toby Sexton, a genuine number nine playing reserve grade, and I know there's people that have mixed feelings with him, but he is a genuine number seven. Outside backs all over the place in terms of positional, and they just lack a lot of motor up front, which I think was expected by a lot of people before the start of the year. But nonetheless, extremely disappointing start to the season, and we'll see how they bounce back against the Cronulla Sharks team, who are at home this weekend, coming off a big win in New Zealand. Now, that trip could be exhausting, and I thought the Cronulla were really clunky on their line, but one thing I was really impressed with was their effort defensively. They really stayed in the fight. They were 12-0 down. They could have just faded away at that point, and it could have been a terrible start of the year, but they hung in deep despite the fact that they weren't scoring any points, despite the fact that they were just trapped in their own half and the Warriors had doubled the possession. They fought in. They managed to turn the momentum, score some points, and win the football game. So massive credit. And when you got guys like Trindle and Nico Hines that have an off night, but you still get the 2 points, I think it's a real credit to your defense. Now, I expect this week their attack to find some success against the Bulldog side that honestly looks pretty vulnerable all across the park. And I think the Sharks will be big winners. I expect Nico Hines to be heavily involved after he had a quiet start and still trying to get 100% fit after some injury drama in the off-season. I think that, you know, him and Kennedy will be running wild, and for the Bulldogs, they just need to find a way to simplify their football and, you know, get through their sets and try to put some pressure on defensively. But, yeah, I just don't think they've got the star power or the playmakers to be able to threaten the Sharks here, and I think it's going to be a long season for the Bulldogs. I don't think it's going to be a particularly good season for the Bulldogs, and, you know, I think it's going to be a tough week for you Bulldogs fans, and I think it could be a tough year. They really need to find a way to, you know, use some of this talent on their side, because you look at their starting lineup, and I don't think they've got a good 1-13, but there's definitely a lot of talented individuals there. But as a team, they're lacking some key pieces that you need to succeed. But, you know, when you got Crichton, Kickout, Reed Marnie, Matt Burden in your side, plenty of talent. You just need to find a way to use it, get some quality football to those guys, and maybe you can be in some games and win some games of football. But I think they're a long way off the pace based on round one. So, yeah, I've got the Sharks big winners. I've got the Sharks by 22, and if you're looking for a market, I can't see anything better to tip than the Sharks 19+ in this game. The 8 p.m. Friday game sets to be an absolute blockbuster, with the Penrith Panthers, the three-time defending premiers, back at home for the first time this year at Bluebet Stadium up there in Penrith, host the Parramatta Eels. Now, this is a rematch of the 2022 Grand Final, where the Panthers got the win and got the premiership, but it's the Parramatta Eels that have really had Penrith's number over the last few years. They've actually won four regular season games in a row against the Panthers, and they somehow find a way to get up for this game. They can really get in Penrith's faces and upset Penrith a little bit and put them off their game, and that's a massive achievement considering, you know, Penrith have almost been looked unbeatable at times over the last 4 to 5 years. Parramatta know how to beat this side, and you know, they're coming off a round one win. Penrith couldn't score a point in round one. They couldn't fire a shot against the Melbourne Storm, despite the fact that, you know, the Storm's defence was tremendous. It's not exactly a great start to the Maria for season 2024, but, you know, they're the ultimate professionals, Penrith, when it comes to preparing for games, and I'm sure they'll be up for this fight come Friday night. Now, for me, the keys of Penrith, they're the usual suspects, right? You got Edwards, you got Luai, you got Cleary, and you got Yo, the link man. And, you know, Parramatta's done such a good job over the last few years in shutting those players down, in particular Nathan Cleary. You know, they've got a little bit less experience this year, Penrith. I thought that their defence was up for the fight, and that's the real part that I'm worried about for Parramatta, is that Penrith's defence is so good. I mean, the Storm kept Penrith to nil, but they only managed one try, and it was from a bomb, a cross-field bomb. So, you know, it's going to be tough to score points against this mighty Penrith side, but I think one thing that Parramatta have to their advantage is that they've got, you know, one of the best spines in the competition, when they're at their best, Gufson, Brown, Moses, and the young player, Joey Lastic, who I thought had a really good game in his first game starting for Parramatta last weekend. But they've got to find a way to score points, and I think that, you know, if there's one thing we saw in all the games last weekend, it was a lot of errors, a lot of players getting fatigued. And Mitchell Moses, for Parramatta to win this game, he has to be at his absolute best controlling the football game. It's going to be a big battle between him and Cleary. Whoever controls the game of footy better will win this match out of the two halves. And, you know, then you've got Luai and Brown, very similar players. Both love running the football. So it's going to be a good battle, and the battle up front's going to be equally as good. You know, Campbell, Gillard and Paulo, they're starting to get older, but they were very effective last week. Bryce Cartwright having the, you know, resurgence career, one of the best resurgence to a career we've seen in a number of years. He was outstanding last week, the man of the match. Hopgood adds so much in terms of just running direct into the line for Parramatta and doing a lot of, getting for a lot of work, especially defensively, that I think Penrith are really up to a battle win. We know they've got the usual suspects, all the forwards will be up for it, especially Fisher-Harris. He'll lead by example. But yeah, I think that Penrith are a little bit vulnerable to start the year. What concerns me about Parramatta is, to beat Penrith, you've got to be on their throat, right? You've got to keep coming. You can't stop. You've got to be able to play the game for 80 minutes. And I saw in the second half against Bulldogs, and it's only round one, don't get me wrong, big season ahead of us, but they clocked off a little bit when they got the lead of the Bulldogs. You can't clock off against Penrith. And, you know, they're almost unbeatable at home. Parramatta are one of the only teams that have been able to do it. But I think that, yeah, you can't keep, you know, the champions down long, and I think Penrith come back and get a gritty win this weekend. I think it's going to be a close one. I don't think it's going to be too much in it. I think, you know, Parramatta love getting up to these games. They will again, but I just think that the key players, the key playmakers for Penrith are going to, you know, be as clinical as ever, and they'll score a lot more points than they did last week because they didn't score any. I think that, you know, Parramatta are in the game, especially if they can hold Penrith in that first 20 minutes, but I expect the class of Penrith to get them home in this one, and I think Cleary will be the man of the match. So, yeah, I've got Penrith by 4 points. I think it'll be a back-and-forth game, but Penrith get the chocolates for me in front of a sold-out crowd up there at Penrith. If you want to... I bet I'm going to go an anytime try scorer for this game. I think that Taylor May was terrific in his first game back for Penrith, one of their best last weekend. Anytime, I think he's about 220, 230. So jump on Taylor May because I think he might have one against some Parramatta outside defenders that I've still got some question marks about in terms of Penasini and Sean Russell out there. I think that's definitely an area on both sides. Defensively to the edges is that a play that, you know, Penrith can really expose and catch their heels wanting in those outside backs defensively, and they can have some success going bit down really either end because they've got strike across the park. So Penrith by four, May anytime try score from me. Sit back, put your feet up, crack open a beer. You guys know what time of the week it is. It's my favourite time of the week. It's Super Saturday, and the action this week kicks off from 3 p.m. at GIO Stadium down there in Canberra. The Canberra Raiders, big winners over Newcastle in round one, host the West Tigers, who have their first hit out of 2024 after having the bye in round one. And big news coming out of the Tigers camp this afternoon with Aiden Caesar, the veteran half they signed for season 2024 to really steady the ship there. He's under injury cloud. He's been named in the 14 jersey, in doubt to play. So that means that Lachlan Gowan, a young player there in the junior system of the West Tigers, will make his debut with Jaden Sullivan, who, you know, has come over from the Dragons looking for an opportunity, and it's a big, big moment for Jaden Sullivan. I mean, this is going to be his football side now. He's already the most experienced half. He's the more experienced half and more experienced playmaker. So working alongside Abby Corrissier, who's going to be directing attack, Sullivan's going to have to play to the best of his ability and control the game of football if the Tigers are going to get up. But Gowan and Sullivan, they add to the exciting youth at the West Tigers at the moment. Jareem Buller had a breakout 2023. He'll be looking to kick on this year and not have the dreaded second-year syndrome. They've got a young player in the centres. Excuse me if I pronounce this wrong. Solomona Fatapi makes his debut this weekend. So we'll see what he's got. I don't know too much about him. They've got the experience of fullback in the forward pack like they did last year. Stefano Ukamanu, Klemmer, Papalihi, Bateman. Saifaf, who had a good breakout into the year last year, is the starting lock. So there's definitely plenty of talent in this West Tigers side, especially in the forward pack, the veteran, those cool heads that you need. But obviously it's a work in progress. They're out to avoid the Wooden Spooner again for a third consecutive year, and their opponents, Canberra, coming off a huge start to the season. Now they can't get complacent, Canberra, because they were fantastic with the football in hand last weekend, really exposed some of the defensive deficiencies that Newcastle have, and they defended their line strong as well, considering Newcastle had so much football. I thought that Rapana had a good game at fullback. Ethan Strange was not unnerved in his first NRL game in the 5-8 position with Fogarty, who controlled the game well. Denny Levi, terrific at a dummy half for them. Morgan Smithies and Zach Hosking, both great debut for the club, and it looks like Hosking's can be explosive there on the edge for the Canberra, and Smithies comes over from England, and he's got that workhorse mentality. He's making 40 tackles, he's having 15 hit-ups a game, exactly like what you'll want to see from your forwards. So yeah, can't say enough positive about Canberra in week one, but they've got to be able to back it up and consistently do it week in and week out, and that's been a problem for them for the past. You know, it'd be classic Canberra if they were to, you know, have that huge win in round one and lose to the Tigers in round two. And the Tigers would be up for it. It's their first game of the year. Benji Marshall, his first game as head coach. They'll be wanting to make a big statement for them, because I think it's safe to say that a lot of these players for the Tigers, their positions aren't safe. They play poorly. I'm sure Benji will be looking to shake it up a little bit and finding a way to get the attack firing. So Canberra can't underestimate the Tigers. But based on what we saw last week and based on, you know, the work in progress that this Tigers side is, I think that the Raiders, they'll have a battle in the forward pack. As I said, there's a lot of veterans for the Tigers, but I think that their more experienced heads, especially in those key positions in the playmaker roles, I think that Fogarty can really game, manage this game for the Raiders and keep the Tigers pinned in their own half. And they've got enough explosiveness with a lot of their younger talent as well to be able to score more points than West can. So I've got Canberra winning their first two games of the year. I've got Canberra winning this one by 10. I expect improvement from the Tigers, but in front of a big crowd in Canberra, it's always hard to lift. It's a little bit of a graveyard there when the Canberra Raiders are on, and there's going to be plenty of buzz down there in Canberra after their week one performance. So the Raiders by 10. I think if you're after an anytime try scorer in this game, I think that Hudson Young, it was all about Zach Hosking last week, I think Hudson Young can expose some tired legs there for the Tigers late in the piece and score a four-pointer. So I've got Hudson Young anytime in this game, but Canberra by 10 for me to kickstart Super Saturday, which is my favourite time of the week and great time to crack open a beer. The Super Saturday action continues at 5:30 with the North Queensland Cowboys at home for the first time this year versus the Newcastle Knights. Now, the Cowboys on top of the ladder after a dominant 25-point win over the Dolphins in round one. Queensland for the second time this year, and you know they're going to be full of plenty of confidence considering how easily they got through the Dolphins last weekend. I thought their attack was on sync, and they were really good throughout the game. Did and controlled the game well with Townsend. Drinkwater picked his moments, and the forward pack really impressed me. They were dominant. The lines that both Lukey and Nenai are running really impressive. And you know, those, even though Tamalo he only got 20 minutes in the game, I thought that the players that came on and replaced him, Griffin Neame, Sam McIntyre, Fino Fuiaki, the young gun there at the Cowboys as well, I thought they were all outstanding. And you know, having that youth and that depth and that competition for the spots, I mean, to the point where guys like Thomas McKaylee and Jack Gawowski and Vellame and Clifford, they can't even get in the squad. Having that depth is a great sign that the Cowboys can be really competitive in 2024. I think where they go wrong and where they went wrong in 2023 was a consistency issue. Some weeks they were up for games, others they weren't. They can leak points when they're off, but, you know, the Cowboys at their best, they're a very hard football team to beat. And, you know, while they're going to be full of confidence heading this week, I mean, Newcastle will be really desperate. They were very disappointing in front of a sold-out home game there in Newcastle. And, you know, the crowd expected to see the continuation of last year and that amazing run they went on to make the finals and go deep in the finals as well. But, you know, unfortunately, it looked like the attack hadn't evolved and it was more of the same plays. Boring football. They look clunky in attack. Gamble and Hastings didn't control the game well. I thought that Phoenix Trosson was one of their bright spots, but Ponga struggled to pick his moments to get involved as well. Their forward pack were badly beaten in the middle. There were some bright spots. I thought Pierce Poor and both Dylan Lucas were really good. Dylan Lucas out of HIA this week, but I thought they were good on the edges. But overall, a lot to be improved on at Newcastle. And don't get me wrong, I'm not riding their season off, but I think there is some big warning signs, and they need to show a drastic improvement this week. They've still got Jack Cogger on the bench. Brayley's another week away. If I'm Newcastle, you've got to find a way to start Jack Cogger now, even if it means Hastings moves to lock, or he or Gamble, you know, find themselves out of the side when Brayley comes back. Cogger is, in my opinion, the best half at the club. I thought he was outstanding for Penrith last year in limited opportunities. He changed the course of the grand final when he came on the field last year. You've got to have him somehow leading this team around. And, you know, they've got talent, so I'm not saying it's an easy decision, but I think, especially if they struggle this week, it's a conversation that Adam Bryan needs to have and a possibility he needs to consider, no doubt about it, because I think that Cole is way too talented to be in the 14 jersey personally. And, you know, I hope that the round one disappointment really revs this Newcastle Knights side up, because they are one of the most entertaining football teams to watch in the NRL when they're on and when they're going on that run. But they've just got moments where they, you know, you can see sometimes their attitude. They think it's going to be a walk in the park. They think it's going to be easy and they'll just get up for it. And, you know, that magic from last year will be duplicated in 2024. They've got to do the hard work. You can't be going straight to the flashy plays. You've got to earn that by completing your sets, getting your kicks. And with the amount of errors they had last week and their defensive deficiencies and, you know, lack of resilience. It's going to be hard for Newcastle if the Cowboys are anything like they were last week. So if we're going off round one form, I think the Cowboys are well and truly ahead. I expect a big response by Newcastle, no doubt about it, this week. But I just think at the moment, the Cowboys, the exciting young players, if they can get that balance right, which they did last week, then they're going to beat a lot of football teams this year. And, you know, they weren't in my eight, but I was very impressed with what I saw in round one. And I've got the Cowboys winning this gun by 12 points. I just don't know, especially if this one gets into a shootout, I don't know if the Newcastle Knights have the, the organisation and the variance in attack and attacking plays to be able to outshoot the Cowboys if this was to be a high-scoring game, which I predict it to be. And with my bet of the week this week, in this game, I'm going to go Kyle Felt, two or more tries. He's currently tied with Matt Bowen with the most tries in Cowboys history. I think that he makes it with an emphatic statement, scores a couple of tries, especially the night Newcastle wingers aren't necessarily known for their defence, so I think I think Kyle Felt can have a really successful night and a history-making night there for the Cowboys up there in Townsville this Saturday night. There's without a doubt some big games of footy this weekend, and this is another blockbuster. 7:35 Saturday, it's the Melbourne Storm versus the New Zealand Warriors at Amy Park. The Storm get a few Amy Park games early in the year, that's for sure. I think they've got another one against South Sydney on Anzac Day, so some key matches there. And, based on the effort we saw in round one, they're going to be extremely hard to beat in front of a home crowd yet again. Their defence was outstanding last week. They were, like a lot of teams, a little bit rusty with the football in hand, and they struggle to get through their sets, but I'm sure they'll be better for the week one run, and they are my premiership for 2024. I think that, the more that Papahausen gets into the swing of week in, week out football again, the more confident and the better he'll be. Hughes was outstanding last week in controlling the game of football. Harry Grant, as captain, had a captain's knock as well, and I'm sure he'll get better off as the season goes on as well. So they've got all the pieces for me, the Storm, and I think their forward pack was a real improvement based on round one compared to last year. I think that Kama Kamika was really big. Josh King moving into the prop, I thought, was outstanding. Lorero good at lock. Katoa really seems like he's maturing into a first grader. So they're a young forward pack, but I think that they're really developing into, just a mix of exciting talent on the edges, with Katoa, with Joe Sheen, as well as just a steely defensive side like the Melbourne Storm sides of old. So, I expect them to be very hard to crack their defensive line again this week. And the New Zealand Warriors last week, they started the game like a house on fire in front of their sold-out crowd. But the more the game went on, the more fatigued they got, and they really were clunky with the football. Their attack was not in sync at all at times. I think they definitely missed Chantu or Klodstad, and he's not due back until round four. But it's a big week for them. I think that Tuipiki was good, and I think that RTS was good in his first hit out as well. Sean Johnson definitely needs to step up and control this game. The Storm are going to win, but it's going to be one up the front, let's be honest. And, two of the best forward packs in the competition, they go up against each other. For Noah Blake was the man of the match about in the losing side last week. He was enormous. I expect the Storm to have a game plan to try to shut him down, but how do you shut down such an attacking weapon like Adam Fanua Blake? Ford, Capewell, Tohu Harris, they'll be up for the battle. There's no doubt about it. But for me, if I look at the difference between these two sides, and I look at Green, I look at Hughes, I look at Papahausen, they know exactly how to expose weakness in opposition, especially Harry Green. If he sees a weakness at dummy half, he'll expose it. He'll run himself. He'll set someone through a gap. I just think the Storm are too clinical, especially at this point of the year. I still expect the Warriors to be a threat. I think that last week showed you that, when they don't have it all their own way and they can't score points, they can get a little bit frustrated and go back in their shells a little bit, and they couldn't tough out and hang on to the win last week. But I don't think it's going to be a representation of their season. I think this to be is going to be a very high quality game, but I've got the Storm winning another one early. I think that they're almost impossible to beat at this point of the year, and round one every year shows that. So I've got the Storm winning this game by 12 points. I think it'll be a good back and forth battle, but I think that this is a game that the Warriors will definitely be able to see where they're at in terms of the rest of the competition, and if they're you know, if they're ready to go to the next level this year, only early in the year, but it'll be a good test for them, no doubt, as it will be a good test for the Melbourne Storm. I think in this one, I think the points will be under yet again. I expect that the Warriors toughen up a little bit defensively, and, you know, we saw how good Melbourne's defence is. So another game where I'm going to go -41.5 in terms of my best bet for this match. Time for Sunday afternoon football. I apologise if I'm repeating myself on today's show, guys. I feel exhausted. It's been a big few weeks to kickstart the season. Working full-time, it's catching up with me. But we've got another two games to preview, so let's get through them. The action continues at Four Pines Park up there at Brookvale on Sunday arvo at 4:05 p.m. I'm going to have a mini rant in a sec, but it's Manly versus the Roosters at Four Pines. I really dislike the 6 o'clock, 6:30 Sunday night game. I'd prefer it to be 2 and 4, and I'm sure when Daylight Savings ends, then it'll go back to that like it does every year, but just have 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. every year. I hate waiting to 4 p.m. for some football on a Sunday. It's an extension of Saturday. You didn't have football earlier. But yeah, both of these teams, we haven't seen them in action for a while. Manly and the Roosters, the round one winners in Las Vegas, and wasn't that an occasion over there for them? They both played a really expansive style of football. The Roosters were a little bit more gritty in defence, and Manly were a bit more exciting with the ball in hand, and they really set the tone for a great two games of football in terms of showing the US fans and the Americans public exactly what our game's all about. But, you know, they've had almost 2 weeks, and at this point they would have 2 weeks of recovery time for this game. And, you know, both of these teams at their very best are premiership contenders. The Manly Seagulls were just so impressive in round one. Tom Zorovic, great to see him running fully fit, and he's just going to be, out for a breakout year if he can stay fit. Luke Brooks had a really good debut. I thought he complimented Cherry Evans well. I think they could still definitely have plenty of improvement with them, and I thought Cherry Evans' game management wasn't the best in round one, but I'm sure he'll be a lot better this week. Their forward pack really impressed me against South Sydney. They got all over South. They've got a bigger challenge this week against the Steel Roosters, defensive, well, the forward pack and their defensive outline to try to get over the top of them. But yeah, overall, I think they're a very exciting team. Manly, Ben Trojevic, Homoli Olakau'atu, electric on the edges, Schuster in contention to get back in the next couple of weeks. So if he can, get back to his best football, they're going to be hard to beat in 2023. There's no doubt about it if they can stay fully fit. But the Sydney Roosters, it was a clinical performance against the Broncos 2 weeks ago. They proved they can hang with one of the best teams in the competition. Tedesco was really good picking his moments and not overexposing himself in that game and not taking away from the general attack as a whole, which I think he's, done in the past for the Roosters. Marnie was outstanding. The halves really controlled the game well, and you can really see Sam Walker's maturity. But there's no doubt that this game is going to be decided from the middle of the football. And Hargraves, he's a massive inclusion for the Roosters. Terrell May, big. Lindsay Collins, huge. Manly have to stop that those front rollers just taking the game out of their hands. If Hargraves and Lindsay Collins, they're going to be making 30 metres in two tackles and put you immediately on the back foot. They've got to be able to stop that. And then the impact of May off the bench. I think Smith, the cheese, looks a lot fitter than he did last season. So I think if they can get a roll on the Roosters, it's going to be really hard to stop in this game. But, I was really impressed, as I said, by the fight that Manly's forwards showed. They didn't lie down against the CS, and they got over the top of them early and never let up. And if they're going to compete against the Roosters, they need to do that for 80 minutes. The forward pack's so crucial for this Manly side, because you look at the attacking weapons they've got. They need to get that quality field possession to unleash the likes of Ben Turbo, and then Tommy Turbo doing his electric thing, Cherry Evans, and his pinpoint kicking game close to the line, Brooks, and him picking his moments to the run. If they can get on top of the Roosters, I think they've actually got more points than the Roosters do. And we all know the stars that the Roosters have, but you look at the benches. I think that, Waddell, Bullimore, Nathan Brown, they were huge for Manly in Vegas. And, the Roosters have so much depth, the Butchers and the Mays and the Sandon Smith coming in and spelling the cheese and doing a really good job doing what he's doing. But, yeah, there's something to like about Manly at this early portion of the season. I think they are one of the most impressive sides of round one. And I really think that, the Roosters, they like to work their way into the season, into the year. They're all about the long game. Seaboard, I think, has Manly prime now, and whether they can, you know, continuing that momentum all year round remains to be seen, and whether they can get back up for the finals. But I think they are ready to go now, Manly, and I think they're, you know, out of all the teams in the competition, I think that the team playing closest to their ability at the moment, apart from the Cowboys, based on one game, is the Manly Seagulls. So I have Manly in a huge upset here. I don't know what to say. I've got Manly by 6 points. I think that Ben Trbojevic has definitely got a try in him. He's my anytime try scorer for this game. But, you know, in front of the sold-out Brookvale crowd, I expect we see the best of Manly. And I think that, you know, they prove in this game that they can be defensively up for the task. And it's a much lower scoring game than we saw in Vegas against South Sydney. But, yeah, I've got Manly getting their second win in a row to start the season. And, you know, the Roosters, they'll go into a blockbuster match against the Roosters next weekend. And the final game of Sunday afternoon football has a very unlikely favourite. Who would have said this? The Dragons are the favourites in a round two game after the all the talk in the off-season from KO Stadium up there in Redcliffe. It's the Dolphins versus the Dragons. And the Dolphins, they were completely outclassed against the Cowboys. So much more line speed, enthusiasm. The Dolphins seemed like a football side that was already fatigued, and it was round one. So they have big questions to ask this week, and they've got a lot of injury dramas. Obviously, Tom Gilbert suffered a big setback, and best of wishes goes out to him, but he's out. You know, Connolly Leniu, he, I think, fractured his kneecap. Some big changes. Ray Stone's out with HIA. Sean O'Sullivan dropped today as the halfback of the Dolphins. So Nick Reimer and Isaiah Katoa, they're the new halves. Completely changes to make up the football side, these outs. And, you know, they've got plenty of forwards, the Dolphins, no doubt about it. But a lot of guys getting a little bit older. And, you know, I predicted them to come, I believe, ninth this year. And I still think that they're a really good football side on paper. But they need, you know, they need to be up for the challenge. They need to be a little bit more quicker and alert defensively. And they need to be able to make inroads in the middlefield. I thought the Hammer had a shocker last week. Flegler was really good in his first game. He was one of the bright sparks of the Dolphins. They need to find a way to get Avarillo and Herbie Farnworth involved in the football. And they definitely got the talent on the field. But the playmakers need to be able to do their job. And for them to do their job, the forwards need to be able to make an impact, which they failed to do against the Cowboys. Let's talk about the Dragons and how good they're going based on 1 week of football. And it might only be 1 week of football, but man, they were impressive. The attack being overhauled, and you know the use they got out of the likes and Sloan and Lomax, very impressive. The defensive, you know, hard work that these players did to cover every inch of this Gold Coast Titans attack. And the Titans weren't great, but you know the effort plays from the Dragons, those 1%ers, make a huge difference. And I haven't seen them for a number of years. I saw them in round one. It's a great sign for their season. Can they keep it up? Who knows? They get some more troops back this week, though. They get Blake Laurie back in the middle. They get Luciano Leilua making his re-debut there for the Dragons. Tom Eisenhuffen, his 1% is huge. He keeps his starting spot. Fatila Marinu is great off the bench. So there's plenty to like about the Red V. And, you know, I'm sure some weeks they'll be up for it. Some weeks they won't. That's just, you know, the stage that their club's in. But if they can go up to Queensland and make a huge statement this week against the Dolphins, you know, I think a lot of other teams would be able to see just how good of a coach, you know, Shane Flanagan is, and how he's going to make a big difference at the club. But for me, I just think the Dolphins have a response in them. I look, you know, as good as the Dragons were last week, not taking anything away from them. I thought they were outstanding. They are... I look at both teams and, you know, preview them at the start of the year, and I can't write the Dolphins off. I can't write anybody really off after 1 week of football. I'm looking at their squads as a whole, and, you know, the upside in some of these Dolphin players, if they can get space to work their magic, it's going to be almost impossible to stop, you know, the Hammer and Farnsworth and Marshall King out of dummy half. Now, the Dragons, if their defensive mindset is what it is last week, they'll win this game of football. I've got no doubt that they can win this game of football, the Dragons. But, you know, week in, week out, you know, round one is easy to get up for. Round two, not as easy to get up for. You've got to be a mentally tough football team, and I think the Dragons are getting there. And, you know, who knows if the Dolphins are there. So I really think it's a toss of the coin. But for me, I see a Dolphins side that were humiliated on Sunday afternoon. I think there's got to be a response. So, I know the Dolphins by 6 points in the last game of the round. I think they'll head into this game as the outsiders. So, just back them 1-12, in my opinion. That's my bet for this game. I think it will go down to the wire. I think it could even go to Golden Point, potentially. But I'll go the Dolphins by 6. I think the Dragons fans might be disappointed by that, and especially if they don't go and get the job done this week. But I think that the improvement's on display, and I think we'll continue to see it on display throughout the season. Obviously, some weeks more than others. It's a work in progress there at the Red V, but promising starts, signs of start of the years. But I just got to believe that the Dolphins are a better football team than they showed last Sunday. So those are my tips for round two of the Telstra Premiership. It's been a big couple of weeks. I hope you guys enjoy your football this weekend. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go take a break and get ready for a big weekend of football. But just to recap my tips this week, I've got the Broncos beating the Rabbitohs to start the round up there at Suncorp Stadium. Friday night, I've got Cronulla being way too good for the luckless Bulldogs, and Penrith getting their first win of the year against the Eels, the defending premiers, getting the job done there at Bluebet. Super Saturday, I've got Canberra winning two on the trot against the Tigers in their first hit out of the year. The Cowboys being big winners over the Newcastle Knights, and Melbourne showcasing their brutal defence once again with a big win over the Warriors. Sunday afternoon, I've got a few upsets. I've got the Manly Sea Eagles, starting the season, continuing how they ended round one with a big win over the Roosters. And the Dolphins showing that, you know, they're going to be a threat in 2024 after an abysmal round one in a narrow win over the Red V. Those are my tips for round two. I hope you enjoyed the show this week, and I'll see you next time on Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Enjoy your footy this weekend, guys.